Drive Home with Stacey and Jay Spoon. East Coast Radio.
I'm Emma Sadler, and I am the founder of the Digital Law Company. My Facebook page and my Instagram account are the Digital Law Company, and my Twitter handle is at Emma Sadler. Okay, so basically what we're dealing with is a new update to WhatsApp's Terms of Service and Privacy Policy. And that's not something unusual. You know, most of these companies, they update their terms and conditions, their privacy policies all the time. Sometimes we get a little update, a little notification saying that they've updated, and sometimes they just update them. And one of the terms in the agreement with most of these companies is that you have to abide whatever terms apply to you on any given day. And I say any given day because they really do change their terms all the time. Now, what's been happening is that Facebook and WhatsApp have been sharing data. A lot of people agreed to it a few years ago. Some people who are maybe a bit savvier didn't. But what seems to be happening is that Facebook has been put under a bit more pressure. There's a lot of talk about regulatory interventions in America, particularly with the new administration. And people are cynically saying that Facebook is taking steps to try and get their house in order so that the government doesn't intervene and introduce all this new legislation. There's even talk of forcing Facebook to kind of unbundle. So that would mean Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram would become separate companies again. So I think they're trying to avoid that, and they're trying to make sure that they are, as far as possible, notifying the user about what content is being shared. So basically what these terms say is that Facebook, which owns WhatsApp, or remember that a few years ago Facebook bought WhatsApp for $19 billion, they are sharing information. It's really metadata. It's information about who you are. So it's not the messages between you and your friends. It's not like Mark Zuckerberg and his cronies at Facebook can actually read our messages that we're sending to each other, which is, I think, a lot of the hysteria was coming from the idea that there was no end-to-end encryption anymore. There is still end-to-end encryption, which means that the second a message leaves my phone, it looks like complete nonsense until it arrives on the device of the person I've sent it to, and they have the magic key to unencrypt it or decrypt it, and then they can make sense of what that message is. So that's very lame an explanation of what end-to-end encryption is. It means that if a hacker hacks your account or if Facebook tries to read your messages, they won't be able to make sense of what those messages say. But what they will do is be able to see what kind of device you use, when you're online, who you're talking to, your contacts. So if I'm talking to Mr. X all the time on WhatsApp, it's very likely that Mr. X is going to come up as a friend suggestion to me on Facebook. Or if we are already friends, they'll be able to tell that we're very good friends and therefore show me more of his content. So it's that kind of thing. It's all about building a better profile of who the Facebook users are. That's not to say you need to have a Facebook account in order to use WhatsApp. It's just if you do use a number of Facebook's platforms, Facebook, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Instagram, then there'll be data sharing about what they know about you on the back end. And so we know, and if you've watched The Social Dilemma, we know how these companies make money. They make money by advertising to us, and they make money by advertising to us because they know who we are and what we like, right? So if you and I open our Facebook at the same time, we're going to see totally different adverts depending what our interests are. And they're very good at knowing what those interests are. So I think it's nothing to be too terrified of. I've seen a lot of people saying get off Instagram, get off WhatsApp and get onto Telegram. I've seen more issues in the last 24 hours on Telegram with children than I could possibly tell you. So, yeah, it's terrible. So basically, if you allow Telegram to use your location, which you shouldn't. You shouldn't use any of the social media apps to use your location. But if you do, then there's a function that allows you to see people nearby. So that allows you to see contacts nearby. So, for example, your next-door neighbor might pop up. But it also allows you to view, without joining, a whole lot of groups in your area. So I'm afraid I've literally allowed, just as a test, I allowed Telegram access to my location literally for 2 minutes this morning. And I was able to see these groups in my area. And so I live in Johannesburg. I was getting hot chicks of Randburg with the most horrific pornography you can imagine. And I'm quite hardy. I see all of it. Really disturbing content. And obviously children who may be using the app would be able to see that content. So make sure they don't have access to your location. I don't like Telegram as an alternative to WhatsApp for children. I think that it's easier to keep your children safe on WhatsApp. And actually, Telegram has an age restriction of 16. I think it might even be 17. So children shouldn't be using Telegram. So anybody who's touting Telegram as an alternative for children, I think that's bad advice. So I think what we're learning every day at the moment is that education is critical. We need to educate ourselves. We only are able to keep our children safe if we know what they're up to. And I understand there's a temptation to be like, oh, I don't understand this TikTok or this Snapchat. It's not my generation and my children, you know, they spend all day on it, but I'll never understand it. That's not good enough. We have to educate ourselves. And by that, I mean, you don't have to go and play Fortnite for 3 months before you let your kid play, but you can at least Google it. Go to a website like Common Sense Media or like Bark and see what the parent guides are saying. See what the risks are. See what settings you need to invoke to keep your child as safe as possible. And then, as ever, don't give your child a device too young. And I know it's difficult with this remote schooling and lockdown and children being forced to get online much younger than ever. But as far as possible, don't let your children have a smartphone under the age of 13. If they need a phone, you give them a dumb phone. And if they need to be online for school, you make sure that it's got all the restrictions available to you. Educate yourself, get parenting control software, and manage what they're up to and how long they're spending on their platforms, on their devices. Because the extent to which I'm seeing children quite literally being left to their own devices is incredibly dangerous.
Drive Home with Stacey and Jay Spoon. East Coast Radio.